Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. We are joined by our good friend and Cleveland Browns legend. He is Doug Deacon. Hi, Deke. How are you?
Doing fine. Nothing a win won't cure.
No, that is absolutely 100% correct. Before we get into that, Deke, thank you very much. Great job at the alumni event this past weekend. And I love the fact that all the guys that were there this past weekend all talk about, you know, the fans, the way you guys were all teammates, and that special bond that it means to be a Cleveland Browns player at any point in your life, and this, the way you feel about the fans. And it was a lot of fun doing that with you this weekend.
Yeah, I think, you know, to see some of the older guys and, you know, like Erich Barnes and Jim Ray Smith, the guys that, you know, I guess from my standpoint were here before me and really, you know, were a big part of the game. And, you know, you go back even further, you know, the Gary Collinses and guys like that. It's nice to have everybody back, and the Browns did a nice job of treating everybody.
Hey, Doug, what'd you think of the Autogram statue unveiling? What'd you think of the statue itself?
I think it's good. I mean, Otto Graham, I mean, his record speaks for itself. And the big question, you know, has always been who's going to be the next one. And obviously, two choices for me would be Lou Groza and Marion Motley. Of course, Grossi always wants to put one up for Paul Brown, but I think that'd be like a married guy carrying around a picture of his ex-wife.
I kind of can see it though. Or is it just good enough that his name is plastered all over the place subliminally?
Yeah, I think that's enough. I think, you know, when somebody, you know, really at the end made their name, you know, owning the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, obviously what he did for the NFL and for the Browns speaks for itself. But with that said, you got Paul Brown Stadium down in Cincinnati. I think that's, you know, that's a nice testimony to him.
Let me throw one more at you. Clay Matthews is going to go into the Ring of Honor next home game. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's something overly deserved. I think, you know, Clay obviously belongs in the Hall of Fame, and unfortunately he's never gotten just enough votes to get in. But, you know, that's one of the things, hopefully, you know, by putting his name up there, and he'll be the first guy in the Ring of Honor that is not a Hall of Famer, and then, you know, hopefully it will bring some recognition to the fact. And in fact, the Jets have a guy that, you know, I think also belongs in the Hall of Fame, and Joe Klecko. But for some reason, you never see the media support for either one of them.
It's a great point.
You talk about Marion Motley and Lou Groza. And those guys were unbelievable. But I can see the argument to saying, hey, what about the next generation? And unfortunately, the next generation didn't have the results on the field to warrant that.
No, I mean, the way that team went and the, you know, the impact they had on the game. And, you know, Marion Motley played a couple positions, and I always felt that Lou was the greatest ambassador the Browns ever had. I mean, he was, you know, Mr. Cleveland Brown, and, you know, in a lot of ways. And, you know, both of them are deserving of it.
All right, Doug, let's get to Monday night's game, and let's flash back a little bit. First of all, can you turn the page that quick on a game that they had from Sunday? I think it's actually, in some ways, it's good that the game's on Monday night, but by the same token, I wish they would have played yesterday just to get another game in there so we can distance ourselves from game number one. So give me some reflections on game one.
Well, I think, you know, the obvious, you know, you can't commit that many penalties. And, you know, some of them, you know, they penalties do happen, but then there's smart penalties and then there's dumb penalties. And the smart one is where you know, keep somebody from hitting the quarterback. The dumb ones are, you know, when you do something where you're baited and you retaliate and you end up, you know, getting 15 yards. And, you know, just, you know, post play penalties are the ones that, you know, really kill you, where, you know, you make a mistake that sets them back. I mean, we were behind the chains all day, and then because of that, I think we were only what 1 of 10 on third downs, and you know, you're not going to win having those kind of situations.
Well, you know, on a show like this in the city itself, everybody wants to put the blame somewhere. Sometimes there is no blame to be put on, but if there is somebody, is that a coaching thing or the individual players or the captains of each team? Who is it?
Well, I think the players are the ones that do it, and obviously the coaches don't, Freddie says, they don't coach penalties. So, it's a matter of being smart out there, and it's one thing, we want to be a physical football team, and I think we are, but we also need to be a smart physical football team, and a smart physical football team doesn't hit somebody after the whistle.
Deke, let's talk about the offensive line, and I mean you're the number one expert in town when it comes to talking about offensive lines, so. I just in the first half, I thought that Baker had time, and I thought that they were doing a good job, and then you get a player kicked out, and things kind of change. Just your evaluation of that offensive line in game one, what worked? Because no one's talking about what did work. What didn't work, and what do they need to do in the next game?
Well, I think, they got handcuffed because they were behind the chain so often. I mean, because all of a sudden, you took Nick Chubb out of the game. And if you look at when Freddie took over last year, his mix to run the pass was he had a lot of, runs in there. And it takes away your play-action game if you're not able to, run the football. And we took ourselves or Chubb out of the game by getting behind the chain so far. But if once you start running the football and you run it effectively, then all of a sudden your play action game becomes more prevalent and things start going for you and you start moving the chains. But when you're 1 of 10 on third downs, it's a long going to be a long afternoon.
Deke, I'm assuming that in the off season that certain coaches are assigned to certain teams as they get, especially early in the season. And now the quarterback is out of the game. What kind of a damper does that put on what the coaches have done to prepare?
Well, you're still running the same offense. And, you've got a smart quarterback. You're talking about Trevor Siemian, out of Northwestern that's got a winning record in the NFL. And, the one thing in the NFL is, a wounded team is a dangerous team, and they have nothing to lose. So, if you think you're just going to throw your helmet out there and win this football game, you're going to get a different – because they're going to play hard. They're on national TV. They don't want to be embarrassed. And you better be ready for, getting a full mouth of the Jets.
Monday Night Football, Deke, 50th anniversary. It's kind of crazy to think that we've been playing Monday Night Football for that many years. Your reflections on it and what Monday Night Football meant to you as a player.
Yeah, how many Monday Night games did you play, Deke?
I looked that up the other day. I played in 8. We were 4-4. The first one I think I played in was against the Raiders. I remember George Blanda, kicking a field goal. That kind of shows you how old you are. But I remember the one against the Dallas Cowboys, I think, in 79. Where we beat them at the stadium, and that was kind of the start of the cardiac kids. And after the game, President Gerald Ford happened to be—I don't know if he was the president at the time—but Gerald Ford came into the locker room, and Tom Darden had made an interception that kind of sealed the game. And of course, Mr. Ford said, "Way to go, Michigan man," because he was a Michigan man himself. So, those are the things that you remember. I remember, I think 1981, after we had the big 80 season with the cardiac kids, we played San Diego on opening Monday night, and we kind of got the doors blown off of us. But I think Brian ended up throwing the ball like 50 some times. But it's a great thing, and that's it's one thing to play on a Sunday, but when you're the only game in town on that night, it's special.
All right, defensively. Did you like anything?
Well, I think, if we could have got them in more passing situations, I think, we could have really did a little bit more damage. But, the big plays, obviously the 75-yard screen pass where nobody really touched him, those are the plays that you can't have. And, I think we saw Denzel struggled a little bit, and, that wasn't Denzel. By the same token, Baker struggled a little bit on offense. But when you got young guys in their second year, there's, no automatic switch that when you go out there that you're going to pick it up where you were last year. You got to rebuild on what you had before.
Deke, two of the big storylines from this week, the watch and calling out of Greg Williams saying that Odell Beckham Jr. felt like or said that teammates were telling him that they were trying to knock him out of the game in a preseason game. Your thoughts on both stories?
Well, the watch, first off, you know, I think that watch probably cost a little bit more than my 14 years of salaries combined. But I wouldn't be taking that watch out on the field. But, you know, every guy has his own little thing. And if that's Odell's, and if, you know, obviously the league is going to, you know, look into it and decide whether or not they're going to fine him for it. But, you know, that, you know, doesn't determine whether or not you win or lose the game. And the obvious thing is you want to win the football game. So it might be a bit of a distraction, but, you know, hopefully, you know, it doesn't get in the way of, you know, how they play on Monday night.
I think he was just helping Freddie with his clock management.
I knew you would be on clock management.
What did you think about the Greg Williams comments from yesterday, just saying that, hey, I mean, I can understand what he's saying about preseason, but is there an unwritten rule among players that you just don't do that?
Well, I don't know if there's an unwritten rule about that. I think, you know, the intensity of a preseason game a lot of time is not like a regular season game. But, you know, I've never heard of, you know, of unwritten rule that you don't do it. You know, I think if you're competing for a job, you're going to do whatever, you know, takes to, you know, win the football game. But, you know, if that's the way that Odell, you know, felt, and if he, you know, heard something from the guys that were here when Greg was here, you got to hear the exact words how it was said. Was it take him out of the game in regards to, you know, an injury, or take him out of the game in regards to not letting him, you know, burn you on a big pass?
Hmm. All right, let me just go back to that watch thing for a second. Did you have, let's just say that's something that's like superstitious for him moving forward, that it makes him feel good when he plays. Did you have anything superstitious that you did when you played, or any of your teammates have anything odd that they did as a superstition?
No, I didn't have anything, but I remember it was one guy who used to say he didn't change his underwear, so we just stayed away from him.
Deke, I'll leave you on that, man.
Okay.
All right, Deke, thank you very much.
Oh, wait, who was it so we know to stay away from?
Well, put it this way, his nickname was Piggy.
Thanks, Deke.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Nice.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.